But again, welcome to Freedom House. If you're here for the first time, my name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church. We're one church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, Online, Espanol, and soon coming to Anaheim. And so clap as we welcome our Irvine campus. What's up, Irvine? Love you so much. And excited to continue our series. So as you remain standing, grab your Bibles. We're going to jump into the book of Isaiah. And we're continuing the series of messages where we've been talking about who Jesus is, as found in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6 and 7. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus came. How many years? 700. And he began to tell us the characteristics and the nature of who the Savior is going to be for us. And we've been looking at that in the past weeks to come. And so as you turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, just want to give a quick update that next Sunday is our Christmas Eve services, Sunday morning. Want to encourage you. We have different service options. We have an 8:30 at Fullerton, a 10 a.m. and a 5 p.m. And I just want to say to our 10 a.m. at Fullerton is that it's going to be super packed next week. So just some advice. If you maybe want to come to the 5 p.m. at night, it's all day long is going to be candlelight services. It'll be the same service all day long. Or you can come early because I just know it's going to be packed at the 10 a.m. Might have to make seats at the, on the altar. I don't know. So just want to give you some updates. Come early, get a good seat. Also, our Irvine campus, 10 a.m., 11:45. Our Espanol, 11:45. And you can be a part of it with us. How many ready to celebrate Christmas in an awesome way? I am. It's always a great highlight of the year. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. Let's continue today's series we've been talking about this month. The Bible reads like this. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Who is this son born for? Someone say us. Remember, Jesus was not born for the sake of heaven. He was born for our sake and our benefit. He was a gift to us. The Bible says, "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," read it with me, "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." These are the five names that describe who Jesus would be. Some would say four, because they put Wonderful Counselor together. Me personally, I exegete the scripture that wonderful is its own distinct characteristic and counselor is its own distinct nature. And so in my exegesis, these are five characteristics of who Jesus is. And today we're going to talk about the Everlasting Father. But let's continue to verse 7 so we can put all the scriptures together. It says, "And of the increase or the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Someone say no end. It said, "Is upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." And the Bible says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." In other words, God's zeal, his passion for his people will bring it to completion. I want to talk today, the title of my message is Everlasting Father, on our series, The Promises of Christmas. Let's pray one more time. Just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your word, and we now posture ourselves, God, in the place of a student to learn from your word. All week long, Father, we all came from our respective careers or businesses or places of influence, and now we come together on this Sunday morning to sit at your word. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to us. As the Bible says, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, sundering the bone and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. And God, cut away anything today that is hindering from becoming the man or that woman that's in this room of God so we can build your kingdom. Speak to us, Lord, for we did not come to hear the word of man. We came to hear the word of God. We love you, Lord, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. All of God's people say amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell someone next to you, tell them Merry Christmas. Come on, tell them that. Say Merry Christmas. So good. I want to continue, as I mentioned here, the series of messages we've been on. I encourage you to go back and listen to a few. Perhaps you were out of town, where we're looking at the different characteristics, the names in which would describe to us who this Savior child would be to us as a gift for us. Because as I mentioned, Jesus coming was not a gift for heaven. It was a gift for us. It was to reconcile us to God. It was to for the benefit of our soul, of our well-being. And this is what God came to give us. And this gift that came from heaven is better than anything you're going to get on Amazon. Okay, it's going anything better, you can get them all. Okay, trust me. And I think all that is great. And again, I'm not talking down about that. You go ahead and bless your family, get your kids something great. I know my wife's going to hook me up. Come on, somebody. I'm going to bless her too. But the point is, all of that can become a distraction if we miss the greatest gift that came to us. Someone say Jesus. And so this gift came to us, but there are some descriptions that tell us what this gift is to be in our lives, just like you can metaphorically say the instructions that come with that new gift you're going to get for Christmas. And if you don't know how to use it properly, you're going to miss the whole point of it. But this gift isn't something from the external. This gift is something for the internal. Something that can change what no doctor can change, what no physician can change, what no scientist can change, what no economist can change, and I thank God for counseling, but even an earthly counselor can change. This is something only God can change. And it was what humanity needed, and it was a deficit in our soul. So he sends his son Jesus. And we talked about the different characteristics, but today we're going to focus in on what I call in the fourth characteristic, remember, wonderful counselor, mighty God, and it is the everlasting Father. Say it with me, say everlasting Father. Now, theological here, then I'm going to get into the points. I got a lot of ground to cover today, and I don't apologize. I always overstudy, but it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Tell your neighbor we're A-plus students. We're A-plus students. Come on, okay? And so I got a lot of ground to cover here, but theological statement here first, just to lay down the foundation. His name is everlasting Father. Now, Jesus is not changing his role in the Trinity. We know we serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When the name Everlasting Father is given to Jesus, what it is showing to us is that Jesus came to be the restoration and the redemption of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It also is a picture, and this is going to get real exciting because when I began to study and just look into this, it is a picture that the birth of Jesus would be the perfect picture of a perfect earthly picture of our Heavenly Father. So catch what I'm saying. Jesus walking this earth would be the perfect earthly picture of our Heavenly Father. Because we're going to find that Jesus is going to say, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. And he says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus is going to give us, through his life, is going to give us that picture. Now, when I talk about Father, it is something that God wants to give us so that we can have that picture of who our Heavenly Father is. And he is the everlasting Father to give us and restore to us that picture. Now, some in this room might have had a great relationship and you have a great father. And to that, let me just say, to God be the glory and praise God. Because there's one thing we need in today's generation is we need good fathers. I'm gonna put amen right there. Amen. We need good fathers. And if you are the recipient of a godly father, a man that's not, of course, not perfect, but is being willing to be perfected and is trying to live out God's word, you are blessed beyond measure. But however, statistics tell us that breed of men is a breed that is being attacked in today's culture is to be that godly father. And unfortunately, many families are without that model of a father. And because of this brokenness, we know that ends up being a dysfunction that is passed on through families. And so therefore, there is a need, or should I say a vacuum in the family of a picture of a perfect father. And the way we are given that picture of a perfect father is through Jesus. It's through Jesus. And so let me talk to the men real quick in the room that if your father is in this room on a Sunday morning in church, he is a rare breed. And you ought to honor that father. Come on, listen. I know it's not Father's Day, but thank God for godly father. Come on, help me shout down all the godly fathers. Amen. He's not the godfather, but the godly father. Okay. And so thank God for that because it's a challenge. It's hard to be a godly father. How do I know? Because I am one. Okay? It's hard to fight and to stand for that. And so men, let's take our responsibility in that area. But unfortunately, many of us, I'm putting myself in there, perhaps grew up without that father figure, without that godly influence. And what Jesus is giving us is God is saying through Jesus, I'm going to give you the picture of the perfect earthly father, of the father's love, that we can look to his words and to his works, that he would be a father into our lives. And we're going to get down on this. So let me give you the first point. This ain't the first point, but here's the first letter. Write this down. Letter A, as we go, walk through this together. And man, I'm really passionate about today's teaching because I really feel it's going to restore some of us, perhaps in a hole that we have in our hearts. But through the life of Jesus, we are given the perfect picture of a father. Through the life of Jesus, we are given the perfect picture of a father. Through his life. So why was Jesus born? Why did he come? Because God wanted to give you and I a perfect picture of our Heavenly Father. Let's read this here, John 14 and verse 7. I want to establish this. Is the Bible says it like this. It says, Jesus said this to Philip, one of the disciples. He said, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, he says, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, verse 9, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen who? Has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So Jesus is making it very clear, saying, as you see him, his works, his words, he's saying, you have seen the Father. That we have behold the love of our Heavenly Father in Jesus, and that's why Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. Now, this is so important for many of us because growing up, I didn't have a father, and so I'm trying to now, you know, be a father and to be something I never saw. Well, how can many of us in this room who are men be something we never saw if you just look to Jesus? Did you hear what I just said? If you just look to Jesus, you can read the word and Jesus will show us his life of what a perfect father is and the extension. I'm going to talk about some of those characteristics this morning, but first and foremost, I just want to establish that we were given a gift, Jesus, because it's the extension of the perfect father, an extension of showing us here on earth of who God is and how God wants to operate inside of our lives. He is the Everlasting Father. Now, why everlasting? Let me just read you this, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Why is Jesus the Everlasting Father? He's the Everlasting Father because Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. In other words, he is everlasting. He is the beginning and he's the end. He is the Everlasting Father. He's the Father of creation. He's the Father of all humanity. He is the Father over everything. He is in all and through all, and we serve an Everlasting Father. Say amen. So this is the picture that Jesus came to give us so that we can have that perhaps area where maybe some of us didn't have that Father in our lives. We can have that through Jesus. That you have a Heavenly Father that loves you, cares for you, and is here for you. And so here's the first point I want to give you. Got a lot of ground to cover. Write this down. Jesus showed us. What did Jesus show us? And I pray this is going to encourage you. Jesus showed us that the Father cares about you. Tell the person next to you, the Father cares about you. It was through Jesus that we saw the care of the Heavenly Father. Now, I talked about a wonderful counselor that he wants you to carry your cares. But what I mean by cares is that he is intimately involved in your life. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 through 7, the Bible says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? How many pennies? 2. He says, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. So he's like, the sparrows, they're sold 5 for 2 pennies, yet God cares about every single sparrow. Then watch verse 7. He says, indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Here's the point. God cares about you so much that every hair on your head is numbered. Now, if you're saying, Pastor, I don't got no hair, your scalp's numbered. Okay. I don't say that. Okay. Every hair. Did you catch that? He cares about you. I want to lay this foundation because we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the message here, and I pray it literally changes your Christmas. He cares about you so much that it didn't say he knows the number of hair. He says every hair is numbered. So this morning when I combed my hair, he was like, Josiah, you lost hair number 596. Come on, and more coming. every hair is numbered. That's how much he's into the details of your life. That maybe you had an earthly father who was there, but it always felt like he didn't care. Well, you got good news, because this Christmas, he sent Jesus to be a father who cares about every detail in your life. Your dating relationships, he cares about them. He cares about the condition of your soul. He cares about what you went through last night. He cares about what happened when you were 9 years old. He cares about where you're at this time of your life. He cares even about the number of hairs on your head. I'd be like, well, that's much. I never go to my daughter and be like, how many hairs you have? But the point is this: God cares about the details of your life. Now, this is so powerful because, again, if we were raised in a home where we saw a father who didn't care, we've learned to adapt and function of not knowing what it is to have a father who cares. And God cares so much. And it's so hard for me to grasp this because, you know, when I began my family, of course, got married to Pastor Marie, and kind of think how much God cares, there was a chamber in my heart that was open. I want to just show you pictures because becoming a father myself, you know, kind of changed my whole picture. But when Marie and I got married, my wife, here's a wedding picture of us. We got married. Coming on 20 years. Come on, six in 4.5 months. Coming on 20 years married to the girl of my dreams, my magnificent Marie, la reina de mi corazón. Come on now. I love her so much, and I would have no other person I'd rather be with than you, honey. Amen. Love you, love you, love you, love you. See, I'm a better man because of her. And this was a great day in my life. We got married, and after a culmination of years, go to the next picture. Boom. Here it comes. Next picture. Boom. There they go. It didn't happen just like that, though, by the way, okay? Many years. Okay. And here's our four kids. And every one of my four kids, love them. My kids are such a joy. I love hanging out with them. I love laughing with them. I love spending time with them. They stretch me. I mean, they challenge me. They make me a better man. I have such memories with every one of my kids. I love those four minions. Come on, somebody. Just kidding. Hey, man. I love them. They're a blessing in my life. You can take that picture down. But here's what I realized. I didn't know that there was a chamber in my life, in my heart, that much love can be given to each one of my children individually. That every one of my kids, I have an individual relationship. Different jokes we have and conversations we have and places of life. And every one of my kids, I love them. And I can't even imagine how much I think about their well-being. And I'm an imperfect father. And when I think about the perfect father, if me as an imperfect father, as a broken vessel, how much I care about them, how much more does a perfect, I pray this encourages somebody, a perfect, all-loving, heavenly father care about you? You might say, well, I'm just one in a billion. Let me tell you something. I know each one of my kids. Each one of my kids, I'll never forget, we're on vacation one time and we're by the pool and I hear a bunch of kids laughing and screaming. And you know, but I'm going to tell you something. Come on, how many parents know the cry of each child? And I remember one of my kids was like, Dad! I'm like, that one's mine. That's the same way it is with our Heavenly Father. Is he might hear a bunch of voices, but when you say Dad, when you say Heavenly Father, he knows each voice in a sea of voices. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. And you need to hear this Christmas, is that he gave us Jesus because he cares for you. And you're on his mind. Not only care about you in the sense of the details of your life, but even wants to care for you in supplying for what it is your needs are. Watch what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says. The Bible says, and my God, someone say my God. The Bible says, shall supply all your need according to his riches and his glory. I here want to tell you this Christmas that your Heavenly Father, he's your supply. Your job is not your supply. Your business is not your supply. Your investments is not your supply. You might say, well, what are you talking about? What bill has God paid? He gave you breath in your lungs. He gave you a brain to think. And if you think that is just something that is automatic, there are a lot of people that didn't wake up today. The Bible says no one's promised their next breath. We are held up not by our muscle, our skeleton, our smarts, or our wisdom. We are held up by the grace of God, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. I wish I had a few more people that were more grateful than you. I'm not because I'm good. I'm good because he's good. Come on, somebody. He is my supply. And let me tell you something. And we know that if we try to make our resource our source, you will be disappointed time after time. Because it can disappear in a moment. But when God is your supply, he will supply your needs. He's the one that supplied that job. Come on, if they really called your references, not the ones you put down. Come on, I'm talking about the real references. You wouldn't have had that job. If they, come on somebody, if you really, really knew, come on now, what happened, right? What I'm trying to tell you is that everything we have in our life is because God is our supply. He cares about me. He cares. And I'm going to tell you something. Growing up, I didn't have a father. Unfortunately, my dad had succumbed to his addictions when I was 10 years old, and he had left mom and left our family, and mom had to work two jobs. We grew up in Section 8 housing. I mean, we were poor. So poor, had to go to KFC to lick other people's fingers. I know it's disgusting, sorry. My wife hates that joke. She hates it. I gotta find a new one, honey. I'm sorry, okay. I mean, we're poor, okay? And our mom was, you know, working hard to try to provide for us, and mom had 5 boys, and, you know, it was tough growing up. It was really tough, you know? And so when I got saved and I started getting introduced to a Heavenly Father who cared about you, Heavenly Father who would supply your needs, you know, it was something that was so powerful. And I just want to say to any single mother in this room, you don't have to try to be a father. Just be a great mother. And connect your children to the Heavenly Father. And he will fill that gap. Amen. Amen. That's one thing my mom did was connect us to the Heavenly Father. You know, connect us to the Heavenly Father. And so I remember when I finally gave my life to Jesus. And you know, I was a wild child. And unfortunately, got caught up in some of the wrong stuff. But when I finally surrendered my life to Christ and started believing God, I was almost 16 years old, and an opportunity came to go on our first ever missions trip. And I just always knew I wanted to do something for God, you know. I want to see God move, and it was an opportunity to go on a missions trip, but this missions trip to go, the ticket price was $800 for the plane ticket. And so I went to mom and said, hey, mom, what do you think? She's like, ah, loco, we're talking about $800. Yeah, you're mine. We got no money, $100, $10, you got no plane ticket. And I said, well, I told her this, and you can verify, I said, I'm going to go to my Heavenly Father. He said, he'll supply all my needs. Now, you might think that's foolish, and maybe I am, but I have that childlike faith that if God said he'll be my supply, if he said he'll be my father, then I'm going to pray for him to be my supply. I went on a fast that day, and I started fasting for a pair of multiple days and saying, God, you know my heart. You're my Heavenly Father, and I know you can provide. So I fasted, and no more than 2 weeks later, my mother gets a check in the mail. In the check in the mail, it was a check for $834. And it said, back pay child support. My mom had never gotten a check for that and never again got a check for that. And when my mom got that check, she says, mijo, this is yours. And I said, praise God, he is my supply. He shall meet all my needs according to his riches and his glory. Now, for some of you, that might be too much. But for some of you, I'm telling you that if you ever started seeking God, that God, you're my supply. He will supply what nobody else can. Now, I'm not telling you that God's going to start sending checks in the mail. Come on, somebody. I'm just telling you is that he's your supply. And what it showed me even today as a 41-year-old man with 4 children and leading the church that we're able to lead and the businesses that I started and lead. And yes, sometimes, many times, I feel like, man, I'm in way over my head. But I thank God that he can be my supply of wisdom. He can be my supply of strength. He could be my supply of taking my cares. He could be my supply of using the small that I have and make it into a great thing. Someone say, my father's my supply. And this is the promise of Christmas. Don't just be excited about the new pair of shoes you're going to get. Be excited because your father's your supply. Don't just be excited about the few things that you're going to get, you know, this Christmas. Because this kind of supply don't come on Amazon. This supply comes from the throne that flows from heaven above. Amen. And so the Bible says he cares for us. And I pray that you are introduced to the God who supplies, because he will give you things that money cannot buy. And you know, y'all know every time we give to God, I say stuff like that, where he'll give you things money cannot buy. He will give you the things that will supply into your hand, the things that are priceless. When you need a door that is open, when you need a healing over your body, when you need something to come into your life. In fact, I even declare this, some of you, God is going to say your name into rooms you've never been in, because he's your supply. God will recommend you. Come on, somebody. He's your supply. And so, how practical, how does the Heavenly Father supply and care for you? Is I follow his advice. Just practical, okay? How does the Father supply and care for you? Follow his advice. You see, my children, anytime they need advice, they come into my study, my office, and I'll give them advice. And the truth is, they will be blessed if they follow my advice. How do you receive God's care and supply? Follow his advice. If you disobey the Father, then that's why you'll always come up empty. And see, many of us, we want God to be our supply, but we're not obeying his advice. Come on, does that make sense? In other words, God has advice for the way you do friendships. God has advice for the way you do fun. Ain't nobody want to say amen there. God has advice on the way you do finances. God has advice on the way you do family. Why? Because God will become your supply when you follow his advice. Well, Pastor Josiah, where's his advice? Open that Bible. Open that Bible. Come on. And when you open that word, you can find his advice. Come on. Number two. Okay, I got to move on quick here. Number two, what is the second thing Jesus showed us about the Father? Is Jesus showed us that the Father loves you. Tell the person you're sitting next to you, Jesus loves you. Come on, say that. Say, Jesus loves you. Jesus showed us that the Father loves you. John 3:16, many of us know this verse, but let's visit it here. The Bible says, for God so what? So loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall what? Not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The Bible tells us here that the premise in which Jesus came was because the Father loved us. The Bible didn't say for God so wanted to judge the world, he sent his son. It says for God so what? Loved the world that he sent his son. That it was an invitation to a relationship of love with the Father. And Jesus was the manifestation of the Father's love. This is what the Father's trying to show us this morning, is that God loves us. And you need to know this, God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Not that he would just send his son. Of course, that's important and pivotal, but he loves you so much that he is the pursuer in this relationship. That he loved us to the point where he's willing to give his life for us and to give his best for us. God didn't just send an angel, he sent his son. He wasn't like, you know what? I need a volunteer angel. Hey, you, why don't you go? We don't like you anyway. He sent his son. Why? Because he loves you. And this is so important, because the foundation of the faith of Christians is that one based on love, not judgment. It's one based upon this God of grace. And you always know if you're serving God out of love or out of guilt, because what do you do when you mess up? You see, a lot of people, they serve God out of guilt. What does that mean? Is that when you come to church, you come to church when you think everything's good. But the moment you mess up, you don't come to God no more. You're like, I messed up. God don't love me. God doesn't love me. And it's like, no, listen. When did you think this relationship was based upon how good you were? Come on, somebody. This relationship with God is based upon his love for you. It doesn't matter how you perform. It matters that you know he loves you. That he loves you. And there's a lot of people that they didn't come to church this morning. Listen to me now. It wasn't because they don't believe in God. It's because they believe God doesn't love them. They don't believe God loves them. They believe the moment they messed up, they had to run from God. And when they get their stuff together, they can come back to church. And it's so backwards thinking, because it would be as if one of my daughters made a mistake. And imagine if my daughter made a mistake. And she said, Dad, when I messed up, I ran away from home and I knew I couldn't go to you. I would say, honey, when you mess up, that's when I want you to run to me. Because that's when I do my best work. I do my best work not when everything is all good, but when you feel you need me to put some things together, that's when I start to get into the place to help you. And I just want to tell you, God is going to do his best work when you feel you've blown it the biggest. I want you to come to Christ, come to Jesus, and come to your Father, because his arms are wide open like the prodigal son's father. Because there are some that believe, check this out, they believe that in this room, you got to be perfect to be here today. Tell your neighbor, you ain't perfect. Come on, tell them that. Tell them that. And if they went, say, and that's your problem. That's your problem. That's your problem. They think that somehow this room is for perfect people. Now, I'm not permitting sin, okay? I'll balance the message in a second. We're not giving permission to be disobedient. God loves you the way you are, but he's not going to leave you the way you are. But you need to understand the basis of the religion, if you want to call it that, the relationship with God is one of love, is he loves you. And some believe this room is for perfect people. And I apologize if you came to church this morning and you ever thought that someone told you that you had to be perfect to be in church. You can come in here, tore up from the floor up. We're going to love you. We're going to love you because God loves you. Serve God out of grace, not out of guilt. And you'll know if you serve the Father out of love is what do you do when you mess up? If you run from God, then you don't serve the God of love. You serve religion. And that's not going to change your life. God didn't send down rules. He sent a relationship. A relationship. It's like, why do I stay married to my wife? Because we signed a paper and there's rules? I stay married to my wife because I love her. Because love keeps you in a stronger covenant. And when you know you're loved by God, it'll change your life. Why? Because the Bible says this, Romans 8:30, it says, for I am convinced. Paul writes this. He says, I'm convinced. Say it with me, say, I'm convinced. He says, for I am convinced, Romans 8:38. He says that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, the Bible says. Next verse, it says, neither height nor death nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I'm convinced, and nobody can unconvince me. No devil can unconvince me that God loves me. No mistake can unconvince me that God loves me. No bad day can unconvince me that God loves me. No sickness in my body can unconvince me that God loves me. No hater, no attack, no person who betrays me can unconvince me. Someone say, I'm convinced. No performance can unconvince me. Because somewhere when we get saved, we start serving God, then we start to think that the amount of God love that God has for us is based on our performance. And the love God has for you is not based on your performance. It's like my daughter. When my daughter was born, or I'll use my son. I got two sons and two daughters. Come on, somebody. When they were born, my son was born, he didn't have to do anything for me to love him. He didn't have to perform. He didn't have to sing. He didn't have to say, I love you. In fact, he was more of a liability than anything. Come on, somebody. Okay. Man. But the fact of him just being born, I love you. The fact of my daughter, my princess, my daddy's baby, being born, I love her. She has done nothing. He has done nothing. He hasn't performed. He hasn't been. I just love them. And the day you were born again, God says, I loved you, and I loved you before you even loved me. But what is it about us that we start being saved for a few years, then we think, I haven't performed as good, so God must not love me. God says, it was never about your performance. I love you. And let me go a little deeper here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love. He demonstrates, in other words, puts it on example. He demonstrates his own love for us in this, the Father's love. While we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. Let me break that down in the JIV version. What's the JIV version? Josiah International Version. While you were still clubbing, he loved you. While you were still drugging, while you were still sipping, tipping, and dipping, while you were still betraying, while you were still stealing, while you were still cheating, while you were still lying, while you didn't even want God, God says, I still wanted you. And anybody grateful for the love of the Father? Somebody give God a 5-second praise of worship. Thank you, Lord. This is the gift of Christmas. Why do you get fired up? Because to whom much is forgiven, much is loved. Yeah, I get excited about this because I know how much that love means to me. How much that love transformed my life. The Father's love. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. This is what God came to model to us through Jesus. It's much more than just a gift I get under a Christmas tree. It's the love that I got from eternity to my presently. Someone say, God, tell your neighbor, say, Jesus loves you. Come on. The relationship, one more thought. I'm going to give you a third point in a second. One more thought. Our relationship with God, it's a strong statement, so please just track with me, okay? If you sleep during this point, you're going to be like half a haircut. Yeah. Our relationship with God is not based on your love for him. Okay, so stay with me. If you believe that the reason I serve God is because I love God more than everyone in this room, that's why my relationship with God is alive. Your human love will one day fail you. And then you'll feel like you're separated from God because every Sunday you think that your relationship with God is based upon your how much and how good you love God. That is a human love. But I want to set you free today. Because when your human love fails, your relationship with God is not based on your human love for him. Your relationship with God is based on his eternal love for you. This is going to help somebody. And a lot of people don't talk about it like this because a lot of people are afraid sometimes that if I talk like this, well, the church is going to go sin in and they're going to... No, I believe that when you find out how much God loves for you, you'll want to live for him. When you find out how much God loves you, you'll want to serve him. Because God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through his son, they might be saved. When you've tasted the goodness of God, it is his goodness that leads us to repentance. That my relationship is based upon how much he loves me. That means that when my human love fails, I know I can always turn to him. That God is not like your ex-girlfriend. Well, you didn't love me. you didn't love me. It's like, so I don't love you because it didn't feel like you loved me. God's like, I love you. So anytime your human love fails, come to him. That will keep you serving God because a lot of people teach you how to get to success, but what do you do when you fail? And a lot of people are not serving God today, not because they don't love God. It's just they were never taught what to do with those failures. Bring them to God. Run to him. Because the picture of Luke 15 of the Father with his arms open wide and the prodigal son coming home saying, I've been waiting for you. I feel like someone needs to give their life to God even right now, in Jesus' name. Even right now. Even right now. And I do feel that. I know I got a third point, but welcome to Freedom House. Sometimes we just follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I just feel that in this moment, someone needs to run to the love of the Father. I feel like this moment, I don't want to miss this moment. And trust me, I have a third point. I got about another 10 pages of notes. But I just feel in my spirit that you never heard the gospel in this sense. But I want to lead you to have an encounter with the love of God. Would you bow your heads just all over this room? Heavenly Father, I thank you. Because I feel in my spirit that there's a handful that the the love of the Father is going to surround you. And it's not His judgment that brings you to repentance. It's His goodness. It's that this love is maybe a love you never had from an earthly father. Well, today you're going to get it from your heavenly Father. It's this love that is magnificent. It's indescribable. Because a human love would have forsook myself a long time ago. But His eternal love comes into our heart. And as every head is bowed this morning, and even at Irvine campus, you're watching online, as your head is bowed and you say, I want to experience that love like I never had before, Pastor. I want that in my life. Because that love will transform you. Because an earthly father you had to perform for. Maybe you were raised in a home where your earthly father always wanted you to perform in order to give you His love. And that has been a vacuum in your life. Well, guess what? This heavenly Father says, just come to me. And I'm telling you, you're going to have that father you never had. You're going to have the heavenly Father who will speak to you, care for you, love you, provide for you, who will build you. And if that's you, as every head is bowed and you want to give your life to Jesus, first one's going to go right here is you want to surrender your life to the love of God. You want the forgiveness of sins, and you've never been what the Bible calls saved. I'd love to lead you in a prayer that I prayed 26 years ago, and I've never been the same. It's a prayer of salvation, the prayer of coming to Christ and saying, change my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to run to the Father today. I don't want to run from Him. I want to run to Him. And if that's you, as every head is bowed, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. You're not lifting it to me. You're lifting it to God. But you're saying, God, come into my heart and change my life.
Thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.